This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Dennis, the basic point here is that we had civilizations way back when that were advanced enough to come up with some pretty interesting inventions. We didn't have to have E.T. come down and show us.
The ingenuity of the human species is unimaginable. Now, we don't need E.T.s. Now, Brian Dunning and Skeptoid, he devastated the ancient astronaut theory. But it was done for when I was taking my graduate and undergraduate degrees in ancient history. I met von Donagan in 1974. He was had a lecture at Western Carolina University in Colowey, North Carolina. I ran up to him after the lecture around the park lot. I asked him something embarrassing, something controversial. I forgot something he'd been implicated in. I forgot now what it was. He got kind of huffy.
Are you talking about the hotel problem where he was arrested for something?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that, I think so. Something along those lines, yeah.
You call it being a financial crime of some sort. It doesn't mean he has nothing interesting to say. That we can evaluate on its own terms, but just to point that out.
Yeah, I think it was. But I was a little naive teenager. I didn't know any better. And but he shook my hand and walked off. Should have got his autograph. But even at that time, I really didn't really accept the ancient astronaut theory. There's some petroglyphs that are interesting, but it might show people in space suits and all this. But I think it was just probably a representation of their gods. No, I don't buy into it. Never did. Like I said, Brian Dunning and Skeptoid just demolished that theory. And I believe the Skeptical Inquirer has also bashed it. But like I said, I don't believe UFOs per se. I don't believe in Roswell. I don't believe in those conspiracies. I don't believe in any conspiracy. I think Oswald acted alone.
Well, speaking of conspiracies, let's go back to Roswell very quickly. We've really been jumping around from topic to topic here. Roswell.
Right.
What happened, you think, at Roswell? Was it a mogul balloon or something?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. What gets me, if UFOs are crashing at the rate that these nuts and bolts ufologists, these children of the X-Files series want us to believe, They have worse design problems than Boeing Airlines, and if they're okay. Another problem with the ET hypothesis is that the speed of light can't be broken. It's nearly impossible to go beyond the speed of light.
Aren't there scientists though who are looking into the possibilities of warp drive?
Well, they're going to have to. Well, even at the speed of light, you're going to have to go to warp 5 to say you're hundreds of light years away. When it comes to Earth, you're going to have to crank it up to maximum overdrive to get to Earth within a relatively short span of time. Plus, okay, let's say I'm an advanced civilization from another world. I somehow found a way to travel through the galaxy via wormholes or whatever. First off, I see this world, Earth. These people are barbarians, killing each other, polluting our planet. I'm going to, keep them under surveillance. I'm not going to have manned space probes. I'm going to set up satellites around the planet, have them invisible. They're going to gather data. Occasionally, I will send probes down to the Earth Maybe he gets fauna and flora specimens. Maybe raise them in terrariums back home. I'm not going to reveal myself. I'm not going to buzz around a Air Force base and or buzz aircraft. I'm going to keep. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the probes secretively.
I'm going to ask you more about motivations and how they would do that, but I wanted to jump back to Roswell. Now, Kevin Randall, you know who he is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, correct.
Okay. Kevin Randall says they thoroughly investigated the possibility of a Mogul balloon being responsible for what crashed at Roswell. And his point is that there was no evidence that any flight was actually scheduled around that time frame of a Mogul balloon. They couldn't find one.
Weren't these classified, though? I think they were classified at the time. But, no, there's this... No, I just don't... Preponderance of the evidence is for the Mogul balloon hypothesis. And I just don't... No. But we've had... I know when back in the 60s, there was talk about the Spitsbergen crash. Spitsbergen?
In Norway.
Yeah, Norway, yeah. Actually, I was a little neurotic ufologist in the late 60s. I think any of us paying attention to Roswell, we thought it was a hoax. I never gave it much thought. I was more interested in Men in Black, and other stuff. but we didn't give Roswell much consideration, from what I remember. I worked with a guy who claimed his father was stationed at Roswell. That's where he met his wife. He said that there's a stairway going under the crash site. I don't believe him. He used to be full of tall tales. I don't believe him. His father might have been stationed at Roswell, but then I worked with another guy back in the 90s who claimed that his grandfather worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and was shown the Roswell ship and the bodies. And the personnel guarding these artifacts said, if you tell anybody, we will kill you. I said, well, why did they show them to him? And they said that they were going to kill him if he talks. He was a teller of tall tales also. So we're getting the tales of Roswell really come from people who don't people who stress the truth. And but I haven't really looked into Roswell that much. But I read the articles from Skeptical Inquirer, and they're more, I think Joe Nickel, he's more believable than Stanton Friedman, in my opinion. Like I said, if a UFO did crash, they would have a contingency plan in place to retrieve the wreckage before these barbarians got hold of it.
You know, you are raising a point there that I've made in regard to Roswell and other alleged UFO crashes, that if one of their spaceships crashed on Earth, they would have a program in place to recover the craft as soon as possible to do damage control. Because if they were not operating completely in the open and they were just flying around, they didn't want to draw too much attention to themselves as much as they were. They didn't want us to get examples of their technology, obviously. They wouldn't just allow one of their spaceships to crash and be recovered in Virginia, Brazil, or Roswell, New Mexico, where crashes have allegedly occurred, without doing something about it. On the other hand, I have a very good conspiracy theory to hit you with, Dennis, on the other side, We have Dennis, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Dennis Stamey, my conspiracy theory, and that is the reason we don't have the wreckage from Roswell, even though they might claim they recovered it, is because E.T. came down, their forensic crew, to pick up the spaceship and take it away, and that's why they don't have it. But they can't say that. So they're stuck in the mud with the story. And as you know, of course, in terms of crashes, the original one was Aztec, New Mexico. That was in Frank Scully's book, Behind the Flying Saucers, from 1950. Frank Scully being, by the way, a gossip columnist. You know, that's not a serious newsman. You know, he's giving you gossip in Hollywood or on Broadway. He's not giving you the news. And he got this story from a couple of con men. I'm thinking here that the Aztec story emerged from the original stories of Roswell. But remember also, the Roswell story itself disappeared the very next day after they said it was just a balloon and wasn't resurrected until the late 70s when Stanton Friedman came aboard and found somebody. So, but are we saying here that everything people reported about Roswell was all bad memories, made up, mistaken, something conventional?
Yeah, well, same with the 1897 Aurora, Texas airship that crashed, which was proven to be a hoax by journalists. Supposedly, the people did have memories of it when it never even happened, you know. So it's the same scenario. People are going to remember stuff that didn't happen. It's just it's the tricks of the mind, really. There are people I kind of remember. I read an article where people, some older, this was back in the 70s, people remember this Aurora ship, remember the document was small, they buried him. But later it turned out this was all a hoax. And most people don't remember it. Most people agreed it was nothing but a, you know, yellow journalism, they call it. But some people think they remember the crash. So it's, you know, so people do have false memories, you know. But let me say this more about UFOs. I've never seen one. I remember most people are, except for airline pilots, military pilots in general, are experienced observers of the night sky. Now, when I was 13, before I got interested in UFOs, I used to go outside, memorize all the constellations, the planets, so forth. I was kind of sort of an expert on the night sky. Now, when I became interested in UFOs, I would sit on my roof of my garage and look for UFOs on clear, warm, clear nights. Never saw anything. Saw a lot of meteors that could have been mistaken for UFOs. A lot of satellites. Saw a comet. Saw a lot of, you know, celestial stuff that could have been mistaken for UFO by an untrained observer. So there's a lot of misidentification of UFOs. And I believe that maybe 30% of what's reported is real, and the rest are either hoaxes or misidentifications of natural phenomena or aircraft or whatever. But I'm a skeptic up to a point. In fact, during the 80s, after I finished collecting data on what I was going to write as a book, the stuff on phantom snipers, you know, I became a total disbeliever. I didn't believe any of it. In fact, I got rid of my UFO book collection, gave it all to MUFON, and just didn't believe it anymore. But slowly I kind of became a little bit by bit more interested in it. Kind of lost my disbelief, but I was still very skeptical. And I came to the table writing this book with a lot of skepticism, but still I branched out into the mystical with this idea of a collective unconscious, which I've a theory that I've revised now. But I'm sure people listening to this broadcast said, well, he doesn't believe in Roswell, he doesn't believe in conspiracies, but has this kooky idea about what UFOs are. Well, not really. I'm just going about what the evidence is. These things have changed. UFOs have changed over the years. Bigfoot has changed in the 1920s. Actually, after the Civil War, for reports of wild men in the woods. I have downloaded newspapers from the 20s about wild men in California. 1940s, these apish creatures were being seen. So this phenomena reflects the zeitgeist, if I'm saying that right, of the times. And that's why I have this theory. Not because, you know, I'm really out there. But because the evidence points to that. In fact, I've been doing research online, looking at all these journal articles, found a lot of stuff on the airship flaps of 1909, 1913, 1897. And even then, the airships tend to metamorphose into these rickety, you know, airships with the propellers, into zeppelins, into planes. What is this, extraterrestrial beings? No, it's not. So this stuff does metamorphose. And the alien abductions, it's another variation of the fairy folk taking people to their underground chambers and, you know, having a feast, whatever, letting them go the next day. But it's, you know, but,
Dennis, what, you started research on the, you know, like phantom snipers and the mysterious slashers back in the 80s. I mean, what initially got you interested in researching that subject before, for a while at least, you abandoned it?
Well, I went to the library, the Asheville, North Carolina Library, and for some reason or others, I must have been bored. I started looking through the New York Times in the 1800s. Started seeing these articles about strange stuff. Most of the stuff Charles Fort had cataloged in his books. And I found some additional stuff. I thought, oh, this is neat. But at that time, I'd kind of sort of turned my back on UFOs. And then for some reason, I don't know how I got interested in phantom snipers. Maybe I think I was subscribing to Fortean Times right then. I think they had an article on snipers or whatever. I got interested in this. Well, let me look all this up. And I collected a mountain of information. Now, the evil book reviewer said that most of my stuff was from Google search. No, it wasn't. He's a lawyer.
Let's search this out, and then we'll get back to that.
Okay.
We've got more to come with Dennis, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Pentecost.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. At least 80 people have died in the Maui fires, what's being called the deadliest natural disaster in the state's history. Former President Trump was in Des Moines on Saturday, joining his GOP rivals campaigning at the Iowa State Fair. A Georgia grand jury is expected to begin hearing the case against Trump as early as Monday. Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan confirmed on Saturday that he is scheduled to testify on Tuesday.
Toyota is recalling nearly 170,000 new model Tundra pickup trucks to fix a problem with a fuel line. The company says there's a potential risk of a fire if a faulty fuel tube rubs against the vehicle's brake line. Barbie tops $500 million across North American theaters as it wins the box office for a fourth straight weekend. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Dennis Damey wrote Mysterious Snipers, Slashers, and Animal Rippers, A History of Paranormal Assailants, with his kids, Jillian and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
He soaked them in. He got them to do free labor. Before we go on with your commentary, did you pay them to help you write the book? Or
No. I should have. No, their mom pays them. not really. They got the satisfaction of seeing their name in print. But, this reviewer said that I did, well, apparently I never read the book. He said that I did most of my research on Google, which is nothing bad with that, because the internet holds a compendium of most human knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. Harvard scholars do their research using Google. You can find anything on Google. Yeah, there are scam sites, X-rated sites. But you wouldn't believe that you can. There's a site I just discovered, the British Newspaper Archives. I was looking at articles on the airships of 1913. It's incredible what you can find. About 90% of my research was done in 1980 via microfilm. I was getting stuff from interlibrary loans, writing letters to libraries all over the U.S., U.K., and Canada. And for this Nimrod to say I did most of my research online is a total lie. He also said that my book actually only consumed 125 pages. Actually, it consumed about 350 on Word, if not more. Total liar. He's a ufologist, and I've dared question his belief system. A belief system is like your life. It's like a personal affront. If you attack it or impugn it in any way. And as far as the misspelled words, well, I had it professionally edited. I didn't see any misspelled words when I went over it. The formatting is Kendall's, not me. This guy was, he was practicing character assassination. He's one of the little nuts and bolts ufologists who believes in Roswell, believes there's conspiracy, believes all this garbage that is generated from the X-Files. And actually, I should take his insults as a compliment, considering the source. But let me get away from that. Anyway, like I said, UFOs are paranormal. It's interesting. I was talking about the collective psyche and how once we achieved self-awareness, became more introspective because we were feeling more divorced from reality. We were becoming more of a cog in the industrial process. And then the collective psyche became more active. Now there were UFOs in antiquity, in the medieval times, in the early 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, but they were few and far between. Usually just fireballs, doing undulating movements through the air, like a regular meteor, not a straight line path. And people were seeing, on the ground, people were seeing gnomes and feral humans and whatever, but it wasn't very common. And once the collective psyche became active, the UFOs were becoming more common, as were the cryptids. And by 1947, when we were on a break of going into space, and World War II was over, and the Cold War was started, and there was anxiety but hope, UFOs flooded the sky. And these flying discs were on the pages of science fiction pulp magazines from the 20s and 30s. You see flying discs and little men on the covers. So this was in our psyche before 1947.
You could also say that one of the most famous sci-fi editors of all, Ray Palmer, was very much responsible in the early days of the flying saucer legend.
Mm-hmm, true, yeah. In fact, Richard Shaver talked about space travel, the Darrows, whatever, flew through space and then their ships, whatever. And then, of course, the airships were in the human consciousness also before 1896. Lighter than aircraft, or heavier than aircraft. Now we have the triangular UFOs, which are, I think, a manifestation of these experimental triangular craft, which I don't think have seen production yet, to my knowledge. That's another, example of the human collective psyche mimicking our aspirations. This manifestations reflect our, the Zeitgeist, am I saying that right, of the times. Were you there?
So do you think that this could also be responsible for the events that you have in your book, the phantom snipers, slashers, and animal rippers? Because much like UFO flaps, a lot of these events, like, okay, you start out in your book, very first chapter is the 1954 case in cases in Bellingham, Washington. And then it kind of like spreads across the country, much like sightings of UFOs do.
Yep. It went from Bellingham. Months later, it was in Canton, Ohio. Well, people in Canton probably never heard of Bellington before what was going on in Bellingham, because there was no social media, no no Fox News, no CNN. They didn't know, and it probably wouldn't even report it in their papers. That's what was mysterious. Then later came back to Washington State. Like I said, a lot of it started off initially as a mysterious phenomenon, and then ended up kind of as paranoid. People, they would see a little nick on the windshield, and they thought, oh, yeah, it's... But it went from being a sniper to something a little bit more, to something paranormal in nature. In fact, there was a rain of soot in San Francisco, I think, if I can remember. But it started to get paranormal. And finally, after a couple of months, it went away. Like the Phantom Snipers come in waves, as do the Rippers, just like UFOs.
In some of these cases with the snipers, I mean, you know, you have the ones that seem like that they could very easily have been done with, you know, pellet guns, BB guns, that sort of thing. Yeah. And then there were some cases where right in front of, you know, the victim's eyes, the windshield would seem to melt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which, as far as I know, windshields aren't supposed to do that.
No. it seems like the Billingham, the Canton episodes, then they came back to Washington and kind of spread across the country after that. Like I said, it got paranormal in nature. Windshields were melting. It was no longer a sniper. It was something. I think the collective psyche was mimicking our fears of radioactive fallout. Is what I think.
Before we go on with that, we've got Dennis, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's continue, Dennis. You're saying here that the collective unconscious responded to our concerns about nuclear weaponry. And I'm thinking a corollary to that is people claim to meet up, especially in the 50s, with space people, the contactees, always or almost always said they're here to warn us about the dangers of nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm, correct. Yeah. You know, when I was back in the 60s, there was a period where I started believing in Obdomsky and Howard Menzel. I started believing. I don't know why. I became a believer in the contactees. I don't know why. I guess I was just a neurotic little teenager. But I thought it was neat. The Space Brothers with long shoulder length hair coming to this hippie type aliens coming to warn us about war and that we need to, be at peace. I thought it was great. But then I moved away from that and got into I became a Keelian, so a follower of John Keel. I got away from that.
I wanted to just bring up here, and just to infer something here, in terms of the contactees, Howard Menger. Howard Menger is an interesting character. Not that he didn't come out with the same claims as other contactees, but two things. Number one, he had these paintings of UFOs that looked exactly like the spaceship that left Earth at the end of the movie Day the Earth Stood Still, the 1951 movie. That's one thing he did. The second is, and I talked to Menger back in the mid-60s.
Really?
With Jim Moseley. We went out for lunch across the street from Moseley's office at 303 Fifth Avenue in New York. And then Menger said maybe, or suggested very strongly, that he was perhaps involved in the government experiment into how people would react to being visited by extraterrestrials. And that was the reason for his contact claims. They didn't meet space people, he met government agents. Now, later on, he kind of retracted that and went back to his space brothers and sisters theory. But for a while, he almost began to make sense.
I don't know, Domsky, in his later years, thought the Space Brothers, the Venusians, whatever, weren't telling him the truth. He thought they had an ulterior motive for coming here. That's what I've heard.
Does that imply also that maybe some of these contactees were government experiments? I mean, there's a story of Orfeo Angelucci meeting somebody in a diner, and he gives Angelucci this tab or something, that he consumes. And then, of course, what? He went into a dream? Think about it. You feed mind-altering drugs to people as an experiment, make them believe they contacted ETs?
Could be. Like I said, I'm a bit of a skeptic. I don't know. I believe they were experiencing a personal paranormal, having personal paranormal experiences, much like somebody seeing the Virgin Mary or seeing a ghost. I don't take their stories at face value, you know. But I think most of the contactees did experience something paranormal, and it was being shown to them within their own frame of reference. But I don't believe it per se. I don't know. As far as government agents and all that, I don't know. I have no comment on it. I'm skeptical of that.
Dennis, you said something interesting about the windshield snipers. In your book, the first recorded events, or at least what you have, was March 12th, 1954 in Bellingham, Washington. And you made an interesting statement that, you know, this could have been because of some of the Cold War fears of atomic weapons. It's interesting because there was the Bravo test that where the United States tested an H-bomb at the Bikini Atoll on March 1st, 1954, and that bomb unexpectedly turned out to be the largest U.S. nuclear test ever exploded by accident. The scientists had underestimated the size of the explosion. Of course, they didn't know that at the time and wouldn't have revealed it until years later. But then, less than 2 weeks later, in Bellingham, Washington, you start to have these weird events. It's probably just a coincidence, but considering what you had said, and I know that there's a section in the book where somebody actually had taken a Geiger counter, not in Bellingham, but maybe Louisville or someplace like that, and found radiation levels in the area to be higher, at least that's what they said, higher than normal.
I've heard about the Bikini. I know about the Bikini. I told nuclear test, but I didn't realize it was right before the sniper, 54 sniper. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Actually, the snipers didn't get started to 1919? There was a sniper. He was caught. He was the first one. He was a psycho, but he was ingenious. He had a gun that he had made this gun where he could pull it out of his coat and fire and stick it back in. Right after that, there was this was New York City, I think. Then in York, New Jersey, somebody fired through the window of a house, and they couldn't find the bullet, and they didn't see anybody. It was a typical phantom sniper attack. And after that, the phantom snipers, they weren't that active in the 20s, I don't think. Oh, the Camden sniper was 28. I should have studied up on my book before this podcast. The Camden sniper was 28, I think. Then the Boston sniper, 30, 31. And there was a Ripper, at the closed Ripper at the same time as the Boston sniper. But it seemed like this started after this guy had was going around shooting people with this improvised gun he had. I think he killed a couple of people, from what I remember. I don't know.
Well, and the unfortunate thing is that if such events would happen today, considering the expanded gun violence across the country, people would hardly even take notice.
That's why I can't find any mention of phantom snipers since. The last one was not a, didn't use a .22, which is the typical rifle the sniper uses. The dart gun. You remember the dart sniper of upstate New York?
Oh, I know. I know the case you're talking about. Yes.
He left he preyed on single women. They'd be in, most of them would be in ground floor apartments with the window open. Shot through, sometimes it hit them, sometimes it hit the wall. They couldn't trace the darts down to any store, any sporting goods store. He was never seen. Nobody saw a car drive off or heard a car drive off. There's no suspects. It was incredibly mysterious. That's the last sniper. Now, I think there was a sniper. No. Yeah, that was the last sniper incident, I believe. Like I said, I should have done my homework, read my own book.
But that guy stands out because he used darts rather than a gun. Yeah.
Really? And but I've tried looking into phantom snipers, asking 40 researchers. They say, no, never heard of it. Huh. Yeah, like you said, if this happens now, nobody would pay attention to it. It still could be going on. The slasher, the clothes ripper, hat snatcher, whatever, could still be operating. But I don't think anybody's going to pay attention to it this time in this day and age.
Well, you know, the clothes rippers have kind of evolved into the needle attacks that especially was predominant about this time last year, and started out in England, and then and then France. A lot of cases happened in France as well. It was very, very similar to the clothes rippers, where usually it's young ladies.
We'll be back in a moment. Dennis and Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.